Cause I'm African. When they diss our culture, I laugh at them. They be saying that we're wild. We got lions in our pride, and we surely progress. We got God on our side. They hear how I rap, asking me where I'm from. I'm an African boy, rocking the Sean John. Try to wrestle in real action, yo. You can't deny your black skin. M. Jackson knows. They calling us the third world. To me, we more advanced. Where they coming from? The west, just to see our daughters dance. It's funny when they say that no man is an island.
Hi everyone, this is David Sasaki, the research director for the Technology for Transparency Network. Today we're going to take a look at the African Election Project, which aims to use technology to enhance election reporting by journalists in 10 African countries, and also to promote more civic participation in election coverage and monitoring. The project, which can be found at africanelections.org, has so far covered elections in Ghana, Guinea, Togo, Ivory Coast, Malawi, Mauritania, Namibia, Botswana, and Mozambique, and has plans to also cover the next election in Niger. But there's one obvious question that comes to mind with regard to all of these countries, and that is, how does a project employ the use of technology and the internet to improve election coverage and monitoring when internet penetration for most of these countries is between 4 and 10%? Not only is the lack of internet penetration a major challenge, but the speed of internet connectivity in Africa also greatly limits what can be done with a website. Uploading video interviews of voters returning from the polls, for example, is just about impossible. In fact, the speed of the internet connection between Malawi, where Sub-Saharan Africa researcher Victor Kayonga is based, and Ghana, where African Elections Project co-founder Kwame Ahiabenu is based, proved to be too slow for them to successfully conduct an interview over Skype.
Kwame, one of the obvious obstacles, I suppose, to this project is the very issue of the, maybe would say, the internet infrastructure, ICT infrastructure in the African continent. You're in Ghana right now, I'm in Malawi. We already have difficulties actually in getting a clear communication between the two of us. What challenges has the African Elections Project faced so far?
As you mentioned, one of the bigger challenges we have is the access to technologies, not only the internet, but also various tools that journalists can use on their phone. For example, when they go on the phone, they want to record them. They want to have access to content in the news. They are limited because they don't have access to the internet.
And that excerpt that you heard between Victor and Kwame is pretty representative of the quality of audio throughout their call. We'll play a couple more clips later on, but keep in mind that their tone of exasperation comes from the fact that they each had to repeat themselves two or three times in order to ask and answer a question. The point that Kwame was stressing is that beyond just low levels of internet penetration and slow connectivity, there is general lack of access to technology in Africa, both in terms of hardware and software. Journalists don't have access to smartphones, for example, that they can use to report from the streets. Most don't have access to video cameras or the necessary training to use them. Simply put, access to infrastructure, equipment, and training to use that equipment is the major obstacle right now when it comes to using technology in order to promote transparency and accountability around African elections. But that won't keep the founders and volunteers at the African Elections Project from preparing for the future, when mobile and internet connectivity will inevitably expand. In fact, with two major new underwater internet cables now circling the continent and plans for low-orbiting satellites as well, the next 5 years will likely see a major boost in connectivity in Africa. But, as Teddy Ruge of the Project Diaspora once put it, will Africans use that new connectivity to merely download content from elsewhere, or also to upload their own thoughts, perspectives, and culture? Kwame says that giving voice to Africans' perspectives on elections in their countries, rather than just relying on the reports from foreigners, was the major impetus for the project.
For a long time, content about elections on the web have been very limited. So we are contributing content from the African perspective online, and it's accessible by everybody with access to the internet.
The African Elections Project aims to promote transparency and accountability around the elections in three different ways.
One, we have a content management system for our portal. Two, we have a software that is able to do media monitoring. Three, we have an SMS system as well that enables to do news production and also dissemination.
The first step is to work with partner organizations in order to train editors and journalists how to effectively use technology to enhance their election coverage. The African Elections Project is in the process of developing a guide to distribute throughout Africa, which lists various approaches to doing this. Then, there's a country-specific information portal for each country, which aggregates and distributes election-related news and information from newspapers, radio stations, TV stations, bloggers, and content-sharing platforms like Flickr and YouTube. To be sure, some of the country portal pages are more complete than others. For example, the Ghana page is complete with detailed information about political parties and candidates. There are video interviews, audio testimonies of international observers, and a photo gallery of campaign coverage and voting day. Namibia, on the other hand, doesn't have any multimedia content, and Botswana doesn't provide readers with any information about the political parties or candidates. But still, when compared to other sources of online information about elections in Africa, the country portals of the African Elections Project are more thorough than anything else I've been able to find. Just as important, the information and opinions published show a uniquely local perspective which reveals what issues are most important to local voters. And it hasn't been easy work. Victor asked Kwame what the two most time-consuming tasks were.
One, the news production process, because to produce content, you have to go through a lot of steps and processes. And also media monitoring. Those are the two processes that are called time-consuming.
Indeed. Like so many of the other projects we've documented, the African Elections Project has had a difficult time just keeping up on all the related content and publishing it in a way on their website that does not overwhelm readers. The goal, yet again, is to be thorough and inclusive without watering down the most important facts with a deluge of content. Kwame acknowledges that the majority of visitors to their website come from North America and Europe, but he believes that they are mostly members of the diaspora from the countries they cover. In addition to aggregating and distributing content online, users can also subscribe to SMS notices that are automatically delivered to their cell phones. In last year's very smoothly run elections in Malawi, the project used a piece of software called Frontline SMS to disseminate messages to journalists and election observers out in the field. Those journalists and observers could also use text messages to send in updates to a central newsroom based in Blantyre. Some of those updates from the field were then relayed to the Twitter account Malawi Votes 2009. Again, it's probably important to note that the Malawi Votes 2009 Twitter account only has 116 followers. A similar account set up for the 2009 election in Namibia, which you can find at twitter.com/Namibia election, has only 73 followers. That is a far cry from the tens of thousands that participated in Twitter Vote Report, a project that used Twitter and text messages to report voting irregularities in the 2008 elections in the United States. It's too early for Kwame and others at African Elections Project to recount a polished anecdote of how their initiative had an impact on the results of an election. With so relatively few African internet users, is that even possible yet? Well, according to Kwame, even just a few extra eyes watching and reporting on voting irregularities could easily prevent them from happening in the first place. Foreign internet is here and I click on YouTube, but that don't compare to the words of Desmond Tutu. All right, that's it for today. We have lots more podcasts coming out this week, including a look at Guatemala Visible, a project that uses the internet to promote more awareness and accountability around the selection of appointed public officials in Guatemala. We'll also take a look at Our Budget, a project in Tel Aviv that has taken the municipal budget from its standard PDF format in order to analyze and visualize how city officials spend taxpayers' money. Stay tuned for both of those episodes over the next couple days. Thanks to Victor Kayonga for this case study and for persevering through a painfully slow internet connection. The background music is titled African Boy by Ick Slick and Bix F from Port Harcourt, Nigeria. That track is part of the most excellent 2009 Africa Hip Hop mixtape, which you can download at africanhiphop.com. Always a great source for hip hop from Africa. The Technology for Transparency podcast is published under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Please feel free to remix, reuse, and spread the word. Many thanks.